This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And welcome to this special session. As you can see, we have Brother Faisal with us. Let me tell you a little bit about Brother Faisal. So this session is called Raising Resilient Hearts, the Power of Nature and Adventure. And Brother Faisal Muhammad Ghaffar is the founder of Muslim Family Adventures. And he's going to be speaking on the transformative impact of connecting with nature and embracing adventures in nurturing resilient, thriving families. And, you know, in our times, there's so many, our children are so distracted by screens and we're so busy, we live such busy lives. He's going to be speaking about how to foster a connection with nature, with Allah's creation, and how that can benefit our children, inshallah. So without further ado, and I know that Brother Faisal, he wears many hats, mashallah. So I haven't really done his profile justice, but inshallah, Brother Faisal, please, please do go ahead and share your thoughts with us on raising resilient children. Jazakallah khairan.
Okay, jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is a great pleasure to be with you, and special thanks to Sheikha Fatima for inviting me for this session. And to be honest, as I mentioned to Sheikha Fatima, that this is the first time I'm formally talking about the adventure, nature, resilience, and these types of things. But alhamdulillah, I've been running Muslim Family Adventures as a formal organization for the past 3 years. But before that, I've been taking families from Cambridge and other parts of the UK on adventures. And it all started off in 2012, when I was invited by a group of friends at the Cambridge University Islamic Society. They wanted to go on a camping trip. And they said, we don't have a driver. We don't have anybody to take us. Would you come with us? Prior to this, I had no connection at all with adventure activities, or I wasn't involved in climbing mountains or nature activities or anything like that. Although I was born in Sri Lanka, which is an island surrounded by the sea, yeah. But we rarely visited the sea, and if at all we visited the sea, just you know, walking in the seashore and having some ice cream, but never really got involved in engaging in activities in the sea and the forest and the mountains. So this is a great lesson that, you know, even if you are not involved in any of these things, you can still get in. It is never too late. So in 2013, I was, you know, close to 40 years old. Now I'm 49.
SubhanAllah. So by then you were married and you had
married. We had, yeah, 5 kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we were married and had 5 kids, 4 or 5 kids. Alhamdulillah, we have 7 now. Alhamdulillah. And, but, you know, that was the point where I was thrown into the deep end. We went on a wild camping trip. So this is not a camping trip where, you know, you go to a campsite, you have some facilities such as toilets and washing facilities as such. But we went to Snowdonia, to the Snowdon Mountain, and the group that was that I went with, there were a couple of people who were quite experienced, and he was doing it as part of his mountain training leadership program. So he wanted to take a group. So I said, okay, why not? I would like to go. And then I went, and then we camped on the first night, we climbed Snowdon halfway through and we camped and we stayed in tents. We had to carry everything from our tents to sleeping bags, to food, to cooking equipment, to clothes, to everything. So we camped near a stream halfway up Mount Snowdon. And the next morning we woke up and then we, after praying and having some breakfast and stuff, we went up to the summit of Mount Snowdon, spent some time, and then we came back to the base and we again camped in a forest. And, you know, going toilet, finding water, cooking, filtering the water or heating up the water for drinking. And, you know, this was the first time. And that's when I really got, well, in touch with nature and loved the mountains. And then I thought, after coming back home, bought some new tents, and said, okay, we are going as a family, not wild camping, but, you know, we would go to campsites and spend some time in different national parks like the Snowdonia National Park, Lake District National Park, Yorkshire Dales, Peak District National Park, Pembrokeshire, Brecon Beacons, a few. So we used to go quite often, and we are a home educating family. So we're quite flexible in terms of time, and I was working from home, doing my own things, own business and stuff. So, you know, whenever we, not whenever we get time, but we make time to go on family trips. And our other home educating families in Cambridge saw what we were doing, and they said, oh, can we come with you? And that's how it started to grow. So this was 2013, 14, 15 onwards. And then they told their families or friends who live in other cities, you know, Bristol, Birmingham, London, Manchester. And people were interested to join from different parts of the UK. And they would tell their families and friends. And it became a large group. And at one point, we would go on trips and there would be, say, 30, 40, even 50 families. Awesome. And logistically, it was possible because everybody makes their way to a certain point, either a campsite in a national park. So we'll spend 3, 4, 5 days exploring the places. And it was still exploring the places. We didn't really engage in adventure activities as much, but it was exploring the places, and slowly it turned out to be an organization which is Muslim Family Adventures. Now it is a registered organization which started in 2020, and this is the third year running as Muslim Family Adventures. And basically we saw how, as a family, we were transformed. And how our kids became more resilient, more confident, more active, and more curious, wanting to discover things, wanting to explore. And we saw this with the other families as well. So I did more research into the effects of nature, effects of adventure, effects of really the mountain itself. Because as we know, as Muslims, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned quite a few times the mountains in the Quran. How humble the mountains are, how magnanimous the mountains are, how much the mountains give stability to the earth. So, So when I thought of Muslim Family Adventures, came up with the name Muslim Family Adventures, it was before it was like family outings or something like that. So we came up with the name Muslim Family Adventures, and the logo that we decided to have for Muslim family adventures is a mountain. And all of us, we actually love the mountains. And there's so much research that has been done on the effects of the mountain. There's a, if you Google mountains for the mind, and people, this gives the people's experience of people who have anxiety issues, people who have depression, people who are so depressed that they are suicidal, and people who have bipolar disorder, people who have several or different types of mental health issues, how they change. And they've been going into, taking medications and going into therapies for years and years and years, which hasn't been working for them. And then somebody tells them, why don't you go on a walk? Why don't we climb a mountain? And that actually switches them, transforms them, and they become totally different person after that. So the effect of the mountain, as Allah says in the Quran as well, mountain, how humble they are, that, if the Quran is revealed on the mountain, it would humble itself. And it seems to have an effect on all of us. So this is just the mountain, and then the effect of the forest, effect of the sea, effect of everything around us, effect of the whole nature, effect of the stars, looking at the stars, looking at the sun, looking at not directly looking at the sun, but looking at the mountain, especially at night. And some places we go to, such as Pembrokeshire, Snowdonia, when the sky is clear, you can see the Milky Way. You can see literally millions of stars. You can see parts of the Milky Way when we go. And the result that I saw, or we saw, through this expeditions, adventures, outings, was phenomenal in our family and others as well. And so I started researching more and more, and then I combined a few different things as a basis for Muslim family adventures. And this is given in an acronym called FANCHAM. So if you want to learn more about it, you could go to the website, muslimfamilyadventures.uk, and there's more details, but I'll just briefly explain what this FANCHAM is. So FANCHAM is FANCHEM, seven letters. So F stands for faith, and this is the foundation for Muslim family adventures. What we try to do is that we try to take two or three aspects of each of them and introduce it. You must have come across, or your viewers must have come across, the 80-20 principle, Pareto rule, where 20% of the effort result produces 80% of the results. So it's not always 50-50, 50% effort produces 50% results, 80% effort produces 80% results. It's like there are certain things, there are certain core things. So that's what we try to incorporate within Muslim family adventures, that we try to take these core things. When it comes to faith, two things that stands out are gratitude, shukr, and sabr. And then we add tawakkul as well. In our programs, whenever we climb a mountain, when we see the trees, when we are in the sea doing sea kayaking or canoeing, when we're in the lakes, river, we always talk about, the creation of Allah, how Allah has created these things, how much we should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this again ties back to the Quran. In the Quran, Allah tells so many times in different ways about the signs of Allah. And, we have the ayat in the Quran, we have ayat in the universe and within ourselves as well. And we always try to tie this. And then patience or steadfastness is quite key as well, because when it comes to adventure, the core of Muslim family adventure is difficulty. So people shouldn't be scared when I say difficulty, but
you're out of your comfort zone, aren't you? When you're
that's what it is. To really grow, you have to be out of your comfort zone.
It's very different to a hotel room.
Yes. On the holiday. Yes. So, one of the first things that that we do is when people come, we don't have hotels. What we do is just to get more people coming in, because for most people, going straight into the tents is a bit difficult.
Yeah.
It's like too far away from their comfort zone. So yes. What we do now is we have hostels where 20, 30 families could come together. And you know, its facilities are basic. But you know, it's indoor area, at least for staying, just for sleeping, and then we spend the rest of the day in the outdoors. So
you said sabr and tawakkul.
Shukr, sabr, and tawakkul.
Mm.
And we always have tied these to verses from the Quran, so we have regular reminders from the Quran, and we want to also make sure, you know, we start from the Quran. So, you know, it could be stories of the prophets from the Quran, lessons from the Quran, story of Asiya, story of Maryam, stories of, you know, different people that Allah has mentioned in the Quran, because it's not just the prophets and messengers who are mentioned in the Quran as examples. There are individuals mentioned as well. You know, in Surah Yasin, you have a person coming from the edge of the city to tell the people that, you know, these messengers are, and he was killed, and he tells the people that, oh, I wish that they know how Allah has honored me. So there are so many people who are not prophets and messengers mentioned in the Quran as well, and we bring about these stories, and we pray together, we do things together. So that was on faith. And when it comes to adventure, so it's to do with challenging ourselves. That is key. If there's no challenge, no difficulty, no discomfort, no uncertainty, no hardship, no pain, then people don't grow.
Yeah. You know, I just want to comment on what you've just said.
Yes.
I think, you know, we're so stuck with the faith element. We're stuck in the concrete jungles, aren't we? Like, basically.
Yes. Yeah.
And this is why when I get phone calls from older kids or people whose children have really like lapsed from the deen, you know, or they're questioning even Allah's existence, right?
Yeah.
There are people, young people like that. It makes me wonder, like, I think the more human beings are disconnected from Allah's creation, the less awe that we feel, basically, because I think it takes awe, doesn't it? That sense of awe of Allah's creation, how small we are and how great this universe is, how great the creator must be. I think if a child feels that from a young age and experiences that and gets away from these screens, gets away from this concrete, basically unnatural living conditions that we humans have created, and gets back in touch with greenery, because I think greenery is also part of a human psychological. Being grounded, touching the ground, actually touching the ground. I know that there's like these rich people now, they actually every morning they take their shoes and socks off and
It's called grounding.
They put their feet on the ground. I don't know exactly what the benefits of it are, but I mean, people are finding this out now, you know, that they've been so disconnected from nature and they're needing to reconnect. And then the second thing you mentioned, It was about adventure, yeah, and getting out of your comfort zone. I think, again, it's so easy, isn't it, to wrap our children in cotton wool. And so when the first time they feel any kind of adversity as adults, they'll just fall apart because they've never had to do without, or never had to be inventive or creative, or, you know, find a creative solution out of a problem, etc. So, yeah, it sounds like you're doing some really important work there, mashallah.
Yeah, alhamdulillah, jazakallah khair. Yeah, when it comes to adventure, so it's because sometimes adversity can come without, involuntarily, you know.
Yes.
And one example was that on 31st of January this year, my son Ibrahim, he was met with a terrible car accident. He was in Palestine, he was in Jerusalem. There were some shootings happening while he was at Al-Aqsa, and alhamdulillah, he survived all of that and took the flight back to Luton Airport, Luton. And then he took the car from Luton to Birmingham, where he was living. And then he met with an accident on the motorway, M1. And, his car was like, it's unrecognizable. And he was taken to the Coventry Hospital. And at 5 a.m. in the morning, two police officers came to our house and knocked on the door, saying, "Open the door, it is the police. We want to talk to you." And they said that there's a person who's involved in a major road traffic accident. It could be your son. We don't know. It could be your son. And what they said was, so we were asking questions, you know, is he alive? They said, "We don't know anything. Just rush to the hospital." Alhamdulillah, I mean, we were able to cope with that situation and what followed afterwards. And they also said, I mean, then the police officers got some more information saying he's got a brain injury. And, you know, we couldn't imagine, okay, accident here, major accident, brain injury, it's in the hospital. And then when we went, he was in a coma. All this together, and alhamdulillah, as a family, we alhamdulillah, it's from Allah that we managed to, all the doctors when we went, they said, we don't know, we have to wait and see, this is a brain injury, and it's brain injuries in such a way that it's not just at, you know, one place that they could operate, this is diffuse axonal injury or something, which means that it's all over. Small injuries, it's all over the brain. And alhamdulillah, because of, you know, people's dua and everything, he fully recovered. Although the doctor said that, you know, they can't do anything about it, we just have to wait and see, and fully recovered. And alhamdulillah, I think we were able to cope better because of all the voluntary difficulties that we've gone through, in terms of challenges, and sometimes it is frightening. For example, you know, we've gone on adventures, especially 2 months before the accident in December, when we went to the Lake District in winter. This was 25th of December, so it was 1 month before, and whole family, I was taking a group, and then we went up to a mountain and we were coming down, and I made sure that everybody else was leaving except for my family and two of my nieces and nephews. And we lost our way, and it became dark, and it was very cold. It was starting to rain, and there's gales, and there was wind, and it not just me, but so you know, this is the kind of experience. And alhamdulillah, yeah. I mean, because we've got experience and stuff, we knew how to, we call the emergency services 999 just as backup while we were coming down and stuff. And when everybody came down, and the two, my nephew and niece who has come for the first time, and they changed as well through this experience. So difficulty raised some element of danger, challenge, pain. This really makes you resilient.
Definitely.
And again, if you see the people in Gaza now, what is happening there, you know, some of the people, you know, unless they have this resilience, you know, they can't. But subhanAllah, the way they are coping, and if they were like people living in the comfort in London, or if something like this comes, it would be very extremely difficult to cope with. But they have the resilience. So, you know, today we are so much within our comfort zones, and we don't want to venture out of our comfort zone. So this, because we had that benefit of seeing the results and then now this lots of research being done on the benefits of nature, benefits of adventure, because, you know, people have all these things, but they still feel empty, and they still have so much of mental health issues, and then on top of that, physical health issues.
The schools, like for example, nowadays schools are telling parents, they're having meetings and bringing parents in and saying, look, girls are getting depressed because of Instagram, you know, like being addicted to Instagram, seeing images of so-called beautiful women, or at least, you know, pictures that have been changed and manipulated.
Yeah.
And constantly comparing themselves to that, not just to the physical appearance of other people, but even just their fake lifestyles, you know, that obviously they're not showing the reality of their lifestyles. It's just like the curated version. It's causing people anxiety, depression. It's causing problems between couples, because husbands and wives now, instead of looking at each other, into each other's eyes, you know, they're literally looking at their phones. Their phones are more entertaining. Their phones give them more, I guess, instant kind of dopamine hits, right? So this is causing rifts and problems in families. So I guess going into nature, I guess there's no Wi-Fi there, right?
There's no Wi-Fi there, but there is Wi-Fi in the hostels. But alhamdulillah, I mean, we engage in activities throughout the, after we come back, we have, for example, workshops, different workshops, for example, mindfulness workshop. You know, where we engage in mindfulness session, we have Quran workshops, in the sense, you know, reading the Quran, reading the translation of the Quran. We pray together, we eat together, then we have journaling, we have separate sessions, you know, fitness sessions, yoga, Pilates.
So, Brother Faisal, would you be able to, two things, quickly go through the letters that you were mentioning? And then also, could you just tell us, like, if somebody's never been on something like this before, and, you know, some of our parents, they're not in the UK, okay? So, of course, many of them are, so we should all join you, inshallah, one day on your trips. But if parents from different places, you know, if they can't join you, if they'd like to get started, perhaps you could give some advice about, like, how would you get started?
Sure, sure. Yeah.
But maybe if you could go through the briefly the letters, because I'm curious to know what they stand for.
Yes, so that's, because every letter I could elaborate so much, so I'll try to be brief. Yeah. So we've done faith, F, and A, adventure. And the third one is nature. As you mentioned before, because it's the interconnectedness of everything, because everything is in harmony. Allah mentions in the Quran that, all the creation of Allah, the mountain, the sun and the moon and the animals and the trees, everything make tasbih of Allah.
Mm-hmm.
And this becomes an opportunity for us to be with everything that make tasbih of Allah, everything that praises Allah. There's a song that we're very passionate about when we sing this song as well. This is done by a nasheed that was done by somebody called Hamza Robertson. It's called The Mountains. It starts off by, I gave my salams to the mountain. Then it ends by saying, we should be like the mountain who praises God and never complains. So it ties back to our, being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also being patient. It's the nature connectedness, because nature is therapeutic. And it helps us to see the bigger picture. So one of the biggest issues that we have as families and living in the cities is that we don't see the bigger picture, because we are always stuck. We are like constricted. But when we go out into the nature, because, in those situations and within the cities, we are always looking down either. Looking at the phone, or so when we go into the nature, it helps us to look up.
Yes. Raise your eyes up.
Because you see, especially when you climb up a mountain, say for example, Mount Snowdon, which is the highest mountain in England and Wales. You see, it's a different perspective, and the training that we get from here, it stays within us. And then when you come back as well, that's why many people say that when you come back, you see things differently, because your perspective changes. And that's why it's so important to spend time in the nature.
I've seen on your website, so it's the power of faith, the power of adventure, the power of nature, and the next one is the power of community.
Yeah, power of community. And community, because again, Allah says that, everything is in communities, animals, bees, everybody, human beings. So when people become individualistic, that's when things go wrong terribly. So when we get together, and the nice thing about this is that people come from different backgrounds. It's not like, always friends go together. When we get
it's
together,
new people.
It's new people.
Yeah.
There are people who keep coming back, but generally it's new people. We have about 16, 17 adventures in a year. So people usually come, one family may come for three or four, not everyone. So you constantly get new people coming in. So what we do is that from the outset, it is like a one big family. It's like a team. Mm. It's not like, MFA. Muslim Family Adventures, Faisal is providing services to all of you. You don't have to do anything. It's not like that. It's that everybody has to be involved in cleaning. Everybody has to be responsible for keeping things, helping each other. and especially in difficult circumstances, especially when, you know, you have a family with five kids, the youngest is 3 months old, they're also climbing the mountain, they've got things to carry, there's a two-year-old, three-year-old. So in these types of situations, people really come together, they help each other. It's not like, you know, seeing people on, I mean, that's the worst example of seeing people on Facebook and stuff, but even visiting each other, but this is in a difficult circumstance, you really see people bonding with each other.
And, yes, I can imagine.
Yeah.
Because they say that if you really, to prove that you really know someone, you have to have either done business with them or traveled with them, right?
Yeah.
One of the things is traveled with them.
This is going one step further. This is difficult circumstances, challenges, adversity, where each one depends on the other. For example, let me tell you, if somebody is rock climbing, and you know, there's a harness and there's a rope and there's what's called beeling, who would control and who would look after. So in this second, we do have instructors, but it's teamwork, that somebody has to hold the rope, and that person who's climbing the rock has to rely, trust them. So this builds trust among each other. So it builds trust, and people become very generous, and, you know, people who would generally not be comfortable sharing stuff and sharing food, and they just want to share and extra friendly and caring, and this really rubs into the children, because they don't see this type of behavior much, where, you know, people are individualistic, you know, they want to keep things for themselves, don't want to share, and you see this happening right in front of your eyes, and you just because everybody is like that, you participate, even if you're not used to this.
Brother Faisal, the next one is health, and then the power of health, the power of education, the power of the mind.
Yeah. So health is, it ties into what I said before. I mean, we focus on physical health and mental health. In fact, we are actually trying to collaborate with universities, and there's some talk going on with the NHS as well, which is called social prescribing. There is within the NHS and within the health community, and there are certain things that the hospitals or doctors can't help. So they prescribe, you know, nature activities, mountains. Mm. So again, you know, for our own sanity, for our own mental health, and also physical health. So that's what Etch is. So we promote health.
Yeah, and education and the mind. If you could just tell us briefly, because I would like to open up, you know, for our brothers and sisters to ask any questions as well.
Sure. Yes. So education is about real world lifelong education. So you learn by doing. That is one big philosophy within MFA.
Just tell us what kinds of things do you do? Like, give us just five or six ideas of, like, practical
things. You know, it's in terms of problem solving skills. Awareness skills, just being aware, self-awareness plus awareness of your surrounding. And, you know, we do lots of navigation stuff, navigation, and this becomes a metaphor for life as well. You know, how to navigate life. You know? So we try to connect each of the skills into, you know, bigger metaphors. As I mentioned, the mountain metaphor, you know, how we should be like the mountain. So navigation and how to navigate, problem solving, obstacles. So these are fundamental life skills that comes through within the education and also curiosity, exploration, discovery. Anyway, let's jump on to the other one because of short of time.
Mind
is right. And, you know, this basically comes back to changing our mindset. Sometimes people see, oh, it's very difficult for anybody to change. But yeah, if you change your mindset can be changed within seconds if the right circumstances are there. And this is how, you know, this whole philosophy helps people to have what we call a growth mindset. That, you know, people have what we call a fixed mindset. People think that we are born with certain talents. We can't improve. That's how. And because of that, they fear failure. They think that failure is a reflection of themselves. Whereas with growth mindset, failure is an opportunity to learn and improve. Because with growth mindset, you say that you can persist, persevere, learn, improve, and grow. So when we do things, we don't fear failure. Obviously, we do risk assessments and stuff, but we encourage people to do things. You know, sometimes
it's try things out.
Try things out. Try new things out. So, you know, fear is what stops many people from moving forward. And so because we have the support, we have the encouragement of the people around us, we have the instructors and we have the support, people are more inclined to try new things out. And once they do it, they're comfortable, they go on to the next one, and their comfort zone expands. You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think it's always the first time that's the hardest, right?
Yeah. So that's the seven Fancham
Adventure
Nature Community Health Education and the Mind.
It's the philosophy of the organization.
Yes.
So Brother Faisal, while I'm going to ask the brothers and sisters, if you have any questions, please do type them in the chat or raise your hand. There's a button where you can raise your hand if you'd like to ask verbally, you know, yourself, orally. In the meantime, while we're waiting for people to think of questions or to type them, could you just tell us what your advice is for somebody who's just starting out? Like, you know, they're used to going on holiday in a hotel, maybe, you know, to a nice location. Even if they went to the Lake District, they'd probably stay in a hotel. What would you say? Like, it's a bit of an unknown, you know, never been on a camping site, for example. What would you suggest to somebody like that? Where could they start? Like in the UK, where could they start, for example?
Yes, it's a very good question. And, you know, the real issue may not be staying in the hotel itself. Yeah. However, what they do during the daytime, because many people, when they go to the national parks like the Lake District, they just go sightseeing, never do anything, but just seeing.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would recommend is that if people are actually going, just because I remember before 2013, before I first climbed the mountain, as I mentioned, Snowdon, we have been to Snowdon here many times.
Yeah.
But it never occurred to us that we should climb a mountain. We would take, the heritage train and then walk, go and see the castles, go to a park, go and see a waterfall, never get into a waterfall. So it's changing from just seeing to doing.
Immersing yourself.
Immersing yourself. So, say for example, and this can be done because there are, you know, one of the easiest things to get into is getting into the habit of walking, hiking.
Yeah.
And this can be done, you know, there are parks, local parks, you know, because we're so used to taking public transport or car or whatever, and we're not used to walking. So, you know, you could go even within London, if somebody's living in London, just going outside of the land, there's Surrey Hills, and to the south side, there's lots of beaches and stuff. And then what I would recommend as the second step is there are adventure activity providers, local providers. This wouldn't be like, you know, going with MFA with Muslim families, but at least you'll get to taste, have an experience of what adventure looks like. Say, for example, a kayaking adventure, or rock climbing, or abseiling, or a canoeing, or if it is a coastal surfing, because you know, sometimes we go to coastal regions like Pembrokeshire National Park or Devon, and then we do different types of activities. So each of these activities, the skills and the type of confidence it gives is different.
Yes.
And so go ahead.
Sorry, I was going to mention just something that came to me that, so I've been camping once, okay, properly, like, you know, and it was with a Muslim organization as well, you know, they were taking families, and I thought that's a good way to get into it. And the thing that really struck me the most was, first of all, there were a lot of mosquitoes at night. Okay, so again, getting used to the kind of, you know, like getting out of your comfort zone, being able to deal with that. But the first night I couldn't sleep, I remember, at all. But by the second or third night, something happened. I feel like suddenly my body and brain, and all of our bodies and brains, were attuned with the circadian, you know, with night and day. Our circadian rhythm was kind of reset almost, right? Because we didn't have a lot of, we did have like torches and things like that. But obviously, like when we're living in the city, you can stay up late at night, right? Because there's light. Yeah. Something as simple as that, you didn't have there. So as soon as it started to get dark, everyone was just getting ready. We would have a campfire and stuff like that. Yeah. But everyone was just getting ready to wind down, go to sleep. And there was something so natural about that. And then as the light started coming in the morning, you wanted to get up because like you want to make the most of this light, right? So I think even just something as simple as that, getting back in tune with your natural sleep and wake rhythm, I found that was so powerful just from that one experience.
Mashallah. It's you know, as I said, as you have experienced and others would have experienced, that this, the transformative effect is immense. It's you really need to do to see. I just thought it would be a good idea to show some pictures to your viewers. Would that be okay? Can I?
Sure, and we've got a couple of questions that have come in as well.
Sure.
Should I ask you them now?
Yeah.
So we have a question. Where I live in the USA, there is no such organization for Muslims. What would be your advice to get into it?
Make your own.
Make your own organization.
Yes.
Or at least start with your own family, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's how we started. There wasn't anything like this before in the UK, and this is all, I mean, in terms of families, this is the this is the one which is, you know, kind of like regular. And this started just our own family. And it's about taking the initiative. And then people see, and people would like to, would want to join us, join you. And I'm sure you can find another one or two families. So you can, it can be just a day trip. It doesn't have to be
two days. Yes, start off small, right?
Start off small.
Wouldn't you say, Brother Faisal, that a lot of countries like USA, Britain, they do have national parks, which yes. are, it's not like, you know, going into the jungle. Like literally it's very well-kept campsites yes. as well. And
yeah.
things like that. So maybe, you know, look up one of those campsites somewhere that is already recognized as a place of beauty and somewhere where they're used to visitors so that it's got facilities and things, right?
And it could be, if people are not comfortable yet to go into camping and stuff, it could be just a cottage, you know. It really depends on what you do. So sleeping wise, you could be sleeping in a tent or hostel or cottage or even a hotel, you know, if that's what you want. But it's really what you do.
Right. Yes.
Mm. Yeah. During the day and in the evenings, and you could be staying in a hotel, but at night you spend a couple of hours going to this designated dark sky areas. In the national parks. So you drive 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and then you just spend 2 hours looking at the sky, looking at the Milky Way. So you can do so many things. You don't have to, leave everything to get into this. You can still stay in a hotel if you like to.
Yeah.
but do things that would help instead of just
holidaying
and sightseeing and so basically it comes back to being purposeful, going with a purpose. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
So
since, just to share my own experience, since then, my sons are very good. They like, camping and things with their friends. And I haven't been able to convince everyone in the family to come again, to camping. But I'm working on it. But we have been, like you said, staying at a small hotel in Lake District or something. And then, like you said, making an itinerary. So getting a guidebook, having an itinerary where we literally have to climb mountains, hills, start off with something a bit small, don't have to go up a very difficult mountain. make sure you've brought your good shoes and all of that, so do things that are, there's something to make everyone happy, I think, you could have an element of holidaying if that's what you want, sightseeing. But then have times and days where you're literally hiking and going into the unknown a little bit, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and this is, there's so many sites. So as one of the viewers asked the question in the USA, so, just Google national parks and because now it's not really difficult to find places to go. And just making a day trip to start with, just within 2 hours drive, and I'm sure you can find places.
I mean, in America they have the Grand Canyon and amazing places like that. I know people who go to the Grand Canyon and just go hiking, I mean, we've got beautiful scenery, mashallah. You tend not to have as spectacular things as that, right?
Yeah. So another thing I would say is changing the mindset, because many people go to these places as tourists.
Right.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. If you go as a tourist, it's a different thing. But if you go as an adventurer, that's a different thing.
What's the difference, if you could put your finger on it?
The difference is that, you know, adventurer want to do things. Tourists want to see things. You know, if you take, for example, in the Lake District, there's Lake Windermere. It's a very touristic place.
Yes,
people
yes.
come there, just want to spend time, you know.
Have scones. And
Yeah. I mean, which is, I wouldn't say it's a bad thing, it's a good thing, yeah. but that doesn't give any of the benefits that I mentioned.
Yes.
Only when you get immersed in nature, get involved with nature, do things with nature, that, you know, all these benefits come. So this is a quite important distinction. Don't be a tourist, be an adventurer.
Wow, I like that. Don't be a tourist, be an adventurer.
Yes.
We've got another question. I don't really understand it, but maybe this sister or brother could explain. Do you come across people who take public transport? How do they manage?
Yes.
Traveling to camping, I guess, or camping sites with public transport.
Yeah. I mean, you know, these places, especially the national parks in the UK, they're well connected as well. For example, you could take a train from London Euston Station to Lake District in 2 hours. You can get to Lake District in 2 hours by train.
Right.
And so what we do, generally people who come, they make their own way, private transport in their cars. Some people come by train and stuff. Some people take the coach. And whenever possible, you know, we pick them up from the closest train station, or they take an Uber or a taxi, or, you know, and once we are there, we have several cars, and, you know, we share car share and stuff. So you know, yeah, public transport is fine, and most places are well connected, and, you know, you can choose to go to places where they are connected if you don't have private transport.
Great, yes. If there are any other questions, please do post them, brothers and sisters. Otherwise, Brother Faisal, if you'd like to share, you've got the permission to share the screen. So
okay,
if you like, you can do it, or if you'd like me to put something up.
Yeah, I just wanted to share some photos. That's it.
Okay. You've really inspired me, definitely. Like, to be honest, I've been meaning to join your group for a long time, but I just haven't managed to. The timing has never been quite right. But do you have any planned soon, inshallah?
So generally, not generally, always, they are during school holiday times.
Okay.
To cater for everybody.
Yes.
The next, usually we do it in December as well, but because this time we ourselves as family, we are going to Sri Lanka to see our families, my family and wife's family. So we're not doing anything this December. So next one is in February, half term. Can you see the screen?
Yes.
So yeah, I'll just quickly explain these photos. I mean, the one you can see is Hajar, our daughter, a sixth child. So she was climbing Mount Snowdon, and one in front is my wife, Fatima. And Hajar, when she climbed Mount Snowdon when she was 3 years old. So this is when she was climbing, 3 years old.
Wow, mashallah.
Yeah. And this is, you know, a group of families in the Lake District. And when we do activities such as, you know, for example, canoeing and stuff, we go from one place to another place. This is the place where there are ruins of a Roman fort. So they're exploring that, and then they'll get back into canoe. So we make it interesting as well, learn history of the places where we go to. culture. So this is my daughter, Asya. she loves mountain biking. So this is, I think, we've been to so many places. This is, I think, in Snowdonia, mountain biking in Snowdonia. This one, yep, a group of people. This was in October. No, this was in August this year, climbing Mount Snowdon.
Wow.
Yeah. And, oh, this is a group of kids. This was when we were in Pembrokeshire. They're just, this is right next. This is on the cliffs facing the sea. This is in Dartmoor National Park. So Dartmoor is very famous for this Dartmoor ponies. So you have rocks and ponies. These are wild ponies, but still manage to play with them.
MashaAllah.
Yeah, these are, you know, families in Devon. This is again in Devon. So in this adventure, we had 40 families, 170 people getting together. So this is not all of them at the same time, because some others were walk quite far ahead, and some. So this is a picture of people I could get hold of at this point. And yeah, this is again in
Devon.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, Sister Zainab is asking, what's the cost range and can a person go alone?
Yeah, good question. So we get families mostly, but we have singles coming as well. Yeah, so people can come alone or they can come with family. So it's open for everybody, although it is called Muslim Family Adventures.
Brother Faisal, how can I ask you, how has this changed you as a person? Because you said you started at like 40-something, right?
Yeah.
So before that, were you more of a hotel person?
Yeah, more of a hotel person, yes. That's how it was. I mean, I was, you know, brought up in Sri Lanka. All the facilities were given. And, you know, even from going from house to house to school, home to school, you know, driver, car, everything. So
this
life of luxury, and right. Then yeah, so it's a major transformation. And now this is why I'm so passionate about this, to introduce it to more and more people.
Yes. So how has it changed you? Tell us some examples, like of your personality or your self as a father, maybe.
In terms of how we bring up our kids, it changed a lot. In terms of giving our kids some kind of independence and self-esteem, and I know self-esteem, we've talked about that before. I don't know, did I talk to you about self-esteem? But anyway, in terms of, you know, it has given me so much confidence. I mean, that's one big thing in terms of confidence. You know, when I think of an idea or think of doing something, I have the confidence that I can do it, no matter how difficult it is. So there are, through this journey, there are other projects that I've been thinking about and stuff. Inshallah, which I'll, you know, let you know soon. So in terms of confidence, in terms of bringing up children, in terms of, okay, this one here, can you see this?
Yes.
This was in August. This was our son Musa, who just turned 1 year old.
Inshallah.
And then, you know, he went up the top of Snowdon.
Wow.
Yeah. So it took about 4 hours to get there, and took another 3 hours to come down. So alhamdulillah, even he seemed to be enjoying. He's saying he's going up, he's pointing his finger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And in terms of, you know, in terms of my perspective and focusing on things which are important, so it has changed me in so many different ways.
MashaAllah.
And these are, you know, a camp.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, so this is the experience. So it's so this is one benefit in going with a group, especially yes. A Muslim group, is that you get to experience these things. You know, many of the activities I mentioned before, you could join some activity provider and do with them, but you know, it's not the full experience of helping each other and getting to know each other, doing things together. Sharing the joy and the pain and the challenges and everything, and what happens with after each adventure is that, you know, people become lifelong friends, and independent of the adventure, they visit each other from different cities like Cambridge, Manchester, Birmingham, London. People come from Scotland as well, and you see, you know. It's all ages. From we have 3 months old babies coming to, you know, grandfathers and grandmothers coming. So you know, teenagers, youngsters. These are two of them are my sons, and fathers. And we've seen a surge of single parents coming.
Really?
Mm. Yeah. So lots of. Lots of single mothers, I mean, of single parents.
With their kids, yeah.
With their kids, yeah. Mm. Yeah, and I think somehow this word has spread that, you know, this seems to be some kind of way for them to connect with families because, you know, the difficulties single parents faces. So we have single fathers coming, single mothers coming, and...
Well, it's like having an extended family, isn't it?
Extended family. And that's exactly what we said. This is one big family.
MashaAllah.
And
we definitely need that in our times because even those of us who have relatives, we tend to be quite disconnected, you know.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of effort to get together and stuff.
Yeah. Mashallah. And the other thing is, you know, people of all backgrounds come as well. So we have, you know, everybody basically, lots of converts come, you know, English, African, and then Asian, Turkish, Arab, everybody. And the nice thing about that is that everybody mixes with each other. Whereas when we live in our hometowns and places where, you know, we tend to restrict ourselves to our own community. And then, you know, on the last day, just before we have what you call a shared dinner, you know, anything that is left over, people share them.
How do you cook there?
Oh, it's self-catering.
Okay.
So people, usually what people do is people bring food from home and then we have plenty of fridge freezer facilities and then they store and some people cook there and some people, you know, most places have takeaways and restaurants and stuff. So and then we help each other, we share them together and eat together.
Nice, MashaAllah. Well, Brother Faisal,
these are the pictures.
Jazakallah khairan, lovely. Perhaps to wrap up, you could just tell us what you wanted to express about self-esteem, and maybe we could end with that.
Yeah, self-esteem is that, you know, one of the issues that we have in the modern day is that especially children, they don't have confidence, self-esteem, and self-awareness. And what this brings is that they get the feeling that they can do things. They can explore, they can try out, they can progress. So what is actually necessary is to teach the kids and our families that it's not perfection, but progress. And two things we emphasize is within MFA when we do things is that two things. I think this is key two things in life, which is prioritization and consistency.
Wow, yeah. Prioritization and consistency. Two things that you really need to be a successful person, right?
Person, yeah.
Yeah.
So this is what comes from MFA is that, you know, emphasize, you know, do the important things. And as I mentioned before as well, the 80-20 rule, because there are so many things we can do. There are so many choices, so many options. We can't do everything. We need to pick the things that would give the greatest results or get greatest
effect. Yes.
So in other words, prioritization.
Yeah. And then to do them consistently.
And to do them consistently, even if it is 10 minutes every day or 20 minutes every day. And that's what, you know, makes you progress. And that's what gives you self-esteem as well, because seeing progress itself gives you confidence. You can see you are improving every day.
Right.
And sometimes people depend on a big goal, motivation, and motivation can go up and down. But, you know, if you have a system where you do, and this comes from, you know, the famous book, Atomic Habits.
Yeah. I was just thinking, yes.
Yeah. But, you know, this is from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as well. You know, the deeds loved by Allah the most are ones that are done consistently, regularly, even if it is little.
Mm. Yes, absolutely.
You know, in terms of prioritization, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if somebody comes to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and asks him, you know, I want to be this, what should I do? He wouldn't tell 100 things. He would just tell one or two things.
The most important for that
Most important things for that person. So in life, I think that is key. Prioritization and consistency to any achieve anything, even religious, as well as, you know, other things in life. And in self-esteem is to have that confidence that we are Muslims, we are believers, we are bigger than anything that we can see, because we have Allah. And this is what I like about, you know, the people in Palestine, you know, I think there's a story when, you know, Umar Mukhtar, the resistance fighter from Libya.
Libya, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, Libya. You know, Libya was colonized by Italy. And people were asking him, you know, the Italians, you know, they have fighter jets and all these things. We don't have. How are we going to fight? So he asked the question, do these fighter jets, they fly under the throne of Allah or not? And the people said, of course, they fly under the throne of Allah. So if they fly under the throne of Allah, we have Allah, so we don't scare. We are not scared of anything. Having that confidence is what is important. And
absolutely,
really, if you come to the crux of what we do at MFA, it's building this confidence. And we go beyond confidence and resilience. There's another term which is quite important to understand. It's called anti-fragile. Have you come across this word? You know,
I've heard it, but I haven't heard it explained.
Yes, okay. We all know what fragile is. For example, if you drop a glass, it will break on the floor. If you drop a glass on the floor, it will break.
Right.
So that's fragile. But if you drop a tennis ball, it will come back up to the same place. Or if you squash a tennis ball, it will come back to its shape. So that is what we call resilience. It, you know, you go down, but you come back up to the same place. So
absolutely, yeah.
What is meant by anti-fragile is that when you are put under pressure, when you face difficulties and challenges, you go down, but you go back more than where you were. It's not you're coming back to the same level, you go back up.
You're better, you're stronger.
You're better, better. So as human beings, we are anti-fragile. We are not just resilient, but we are anti-fragile. We have the capacity to go back, be better than how we were before.
SubhanAllah. Jazakallah khairan, brother Faisal. Yeah. You've really definitely inspired me. I'm sure you've inspired all of our parents out there. I hope it inspires you, brothers and sisters, to make a plan, to get out there in nature, to perhaps get involved with Muslim Family Adventures as well. We have sent you the website address and everything. Jazakallah khairan, brother Faisal, for sharing that story about your son as well. You know, I know that your son went through a very difficult phase and your family, but I think it just really shows how resilient you all are, really, you know, that you got through that period. There is a saying that I wanted to share with everyone before we end, and I believe it's attributed to Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, that he said, "Ikhshaw shinu," that it means toughen up, okay, become rough, like, and and he said, "Fa'inna ni'am la tadum," because good times don't last forever, right? SubhanAllah. So he was actually saying to people, don't get used to these comforts and these luxuries, and do things deliberately to toughen yourself up.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, SubhanAllah, so many Muslims in different periods of time, and I don't want to like scare everyone, but you know, we went to Spain recently, Andalusia, and we heard about the Muslims who they were living life, very comfortable lives in Granada, right? And then all of a sudden, eventually they had to flee up into the mountains, SubhanAllah. And we actually visited the last village of the Muslims who fled into the mountains, because the Christians who were chasing them out, they couldn't be bothered to chase them up into the mountains. So they let them, and the Muslims, it was like the last town. They built a town in the mountains, and they stayed there for 50 years, 50 more years. They remained as Muslims in those villages. But I remember just visiting that place, and eventually it got taken over and the Muslims were either forcibly converted or, you know, shaheed. But it really got me thinking, SubhanAllah, like they were living such a luxurious and comfortable life in Spain, and suddenly times changed. They had to go up in the mountains, but they were so, they had so much ingenuity. They rebuilt a whole town together, you know? Like the buildings are still there that they built. The masjid is still there, but now it's a church. And sorry, but just hearing from you just reminded me of that, you know, even the connection to the mountain as well.
Yeah.
SubhanAllah. We don't know what, inshallah, may Allah never allow us to have to face something like that, but we don't know what tests lay ahead, right?
Yeah. And if I may just quickly add, you know, some of the things, there's a blog as well on the Muslim Family Adventures website. So it's not just for advertising the adventures. So we generally keep updating about this, specifically the things that I was talking about. So if anybody's interested, there are blog posts to learn more about, I mentioned growth mindset, fixed mindset, anti-fragility and all this stuff.
Jazakallah khairan, brother Faisal. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us.
And Jazakallah khair, it was wonderful to be with you and your viewers. And alhamdulillah, this is the first time done anything talking about this. And alhamdulillah, it's a good encouragement for me as well to come out and talk and share my thoughts. Alhamdulillah.
I think you're very inspiring in that regard, you know, mashallah. I'm sure a lot of families need to hear this message, actually. So I hope you do more of it, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khair.
Jazakallah khair. And thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us. We're going to bid you farewell now. So please do look up Muslim Family Adventures. Get inspired. If you're not in the UK or if you can't join the actual, you know, Family Adventures, we hope that this session will inspire you to do your own thing, because there are so many opportunities out there. Just look them up online. I mean, I just looked up American national parks and there's like hundreds of them, you know. So please, it takes a bit of effort, it takes a bit of planning, but somebody has to do it in the family, I think. And, you know, maybe you're that person and take that step, inshallah, and you won't regret it. And with that, jazakum Allah khairan. I will end. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.